listening to Inclusive AF with Jackie Clayton and Katie Van Horn.
Hello.
Oh, hi, and welcome.
Hey, Sue.
What?
No, you need to lean in. Lean in.
What AF podcast?
Nope, that's not what it's called. Try again.
Sorry. Welcome to the Inclusive, Except for Five Women in Particular, AF podcast. My name is Jackie Clayton.
And this is...
Call me bad and bougie.
No, I cannot. No, I may not. Mm-mm. This is Katie Van Horn, and I am not calling you that, and I am... All right, so I mean, like, we got to just go in. All right, do we want to start with this book that I don't even know? I have no words, folks. I have no words, and this is a podcast that kind of makes it difficult. So Jackie just shared with me a book. The book is called Bad and Bougie, Toward a Trap Feminist Theology.
Yep.
And it has a gorgeous black woman on the cover, to be clear. Yeah. And it is written by a white woman,
the Quaker Jennifer Buck. And it says,
not that we have an issue with Quakers. Right. We love you. Yeah. If you're out there and you're a Quaker, thank you for listening. But
It says this book engages with the overlap of black experience, hip hop music, ethics and feminism to focus on a subsection known as trap feminism and to construct a trap feminist theology by author, white woman, and lovely Quaker, Jennifer Buck.
She has a PhD. She has a PhD in theology and religion, so she definitely should be writing about trap feminist theology. That totally... It's totally fine. Everything's fine. What in the world? What in the world? Like, in what universe do you go, yeah, this is what I should be writing about?
And wasn't there like a manager that said,
or
you call it an
aspiration? I'm going to go with, I want to know who published it, but I also don't want to know because I want it that I'm going to get mad at them too.
There's one star on Amazon with 5 ratings.
Yeah, I can only imagine.
By the way, there is another book by a black author named Cecily Bowen called Bad Fat Black Girl Notes from a Trap Feminist.
Okay.
Which has already been written. So they didn't just do that. They co-opted the trap feminist line. There's so many things. I was just starting to get hope again. It's not funny.
I just love, I will encourage everyone who's listening to go read the reviews. Oh, it is entertaining, that part. I think that the best is, why is she speaking for black women voices and who gave the okay for this?
Yes,
like that's the perfect response, is like, who said this was a good idea? Who said yes, you should do that? And I she might be a lovely human, I don't know, but I no. Just no.
Like someone said, and I like this, it's like, I want to call it a kind of psychological violence.
Right. Yeah, like it literally is like warfare. And I do like the IKUFL as well. That was also a good response.
I'm just
saying. So I think that the lesson here, folks, let me speak to the white women for a minute, if I may, Jackie, if it's okay with you.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
If you're a white woman listening, I'm going to use a cuss word. Fucking stop it. And I apologize. So hopefully that was enough of a warning before I did say the word.
I like this. It says culture vulturism. It's not even cultural appropriation. It's worse than that.
Right.
And, you know, it's frustrating. It reminds me of, like, when women are in the office and we have these meetings and then we get cut off and then a man says the same thing and people are like, oh, that's a great idea. Like, you just stole it. You just went with it and didn't acknowledge that anybody else happened to do that. And that's what this woman did. Like, she took somebody else's philosophy. I was just baffled. So, like, in Googling and trying to figure out what we should talk about, that came up. And originally, I wanted to talk, and we should talk about this too. There's a documentary coming out called No Title for Tracy. Tracy is a lawyer and Harvard graduate. When Tracy was in high school, she thought that she had the highest GPA and she was the valedictorian. 38 years later, found out that the principal gave it to a white boy in the class, even though she actually earned it.
I'm glad they're making that documentary.
Correct.
I think it is a very parallel in my mind alignment to the average white man getting promoted over the overachieving black woman. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it like we could tell that story and insert every name.
Sure.
You know, maybe not valedictorian, but just overachiever.
Crazy. Yes. Who did it and earned it, trusted the system, did what they were supposed to do. And, you know, found out that they really were the valedictorian.
I've heard that story. I think either this specific story, or maybe it's just like how many times has this actually happened?
Right.
And I think that people, like, these are the things that I guess also, when I have conversations with folks, they're like, oh, that's not what really happened. No way they would allow that to happen. These are the types of things that make me lose my mind up in here.
There's so many of these things. Like, I talk to people. No, it's just that in my life, there has been several times where I have said, this thing happened. And everybody's like, no, they wouldn't do that. That isn't fair. The person. And no, this stuff really happens. This stuff really happens to people. And there are other marginalized people. Like, I just hate that for her. She's literally at this point. No, I said Harvard. She's now a Yale scholar for the law school. And said, this is still painful for me. And when I was 17 years old, I was devastated. And so this is a form of, again, it's like psychological warfare, where the emotions and the thing that you have to carry don't go away.
Mm-hmm.
Because of it. And it's full, like, and the only reason that she knew, somebody called her into the office and said, I need to tell you something. You really had the highest rank and you should have been valedictorian.
I don't know what you do in those circumstances, because it is the, like,
You mean now?
So I'm going to pivot slightly, because this came up in a different version, but I had someone who shared a interview question with me, and the interview question was like, hey, if you see something, you know, some sort of discrimination, some sort of inappropriate comment, some sort of microaggression in the workplace, how do you react? And it like, And so they said, oh, the answer I'm looking for is that they would step in, that they would say something, that in, and they were explaining that someone had said, well, I would probably go to HR and, you know, talk to them. And I had to have the conversation of, well, that might be the right answer, though. Like, if they're not comfortable calling that person out or saying something, or they can't because they won't be safe if they do, then that absolutely is the right answer. And but it is like, how much expertise is lost? And like, how much time has that woman lost on thinking about this, feeling like crap about it, and all of these things
across the stage and giving her valedictorian does what at this point?
But like, it, like, but it's also those types of things do impact things like scholarships and, you know, how you are, what you're given and how you're set up for college. And
it's beyond that, you just don't trust people ever again.
Right.
Like screw like screw scholarships and screw all of that. It's somebody can take something away from you regardless of whether you've earned it or not. That's the thing that people don't recognize. Like, that's always going to be an issue. And I mean, we're lucky that she went, kept going forward and was able to be successful and do those things.
Right.
But yeah, how many scholarships did they lose? Did they lose a scholarship or an opportunity or different things because they didn't, weren't able to carry the ranking? Or, but I think more than that, we've all had situations that we thought weren't fair. And just having that on your head forever, it's your own torture.
Right.
Yourself.
Imagine how fast we could solve the world's biggest problems if more SaaS startups would gain traction sooner. Welcome to the Tech Entrepreneur on a Mission podcast. This podcast is dedicated to sharing experiences from B2B SaaS CEOs who are going above and beyond to deliver change that is noticed. You will hear their secrets and learn what is required to build a SaaS business that the world starts talking about and keeps talking about, and how to overcome the roadblocks to do so.
But it's also like, how did that impact her longer term, as you're saying, like from a, you can't trust anyone, but also, are you going to try as hard?
Right.
If your hard work isn't actually paying off, if your hard work is being ignored or actually stomped on, are you going to work hard in the future? And it, it kind of also, it makes me think of I'm going to totally butcher her last name, but it's Joy Bualamwini, and she's the AI person. She did like the facial recognition work. Uh-huh. And she recently had a situation where there was a like documentary done by like 2020 or ABC or one of them. Please excuse me for whoever didn't do that. I'm not trying to throw shade, but this is a little bit shady. But they interviewed her, interviewed a bunch of members of her team, and then had some white dude on as like the expert to talk about it, but like use their research as part of the story. And it was like, wait, what? So no credit given. And then it was like, oh no, the white dude's the smart one in the room, not these women that have been doing these amazing things. And it's just that same, kind of the same thing, where it is just like the work is not being acknowledged or thought about, or it's acknowledged, and it's,
well,
give credit where credit is due.
Is when people say, like, when people say, oh, like, why do I have to like apologize for, say, slavery? I didn't put anybody into slavery. It might have been my ancestors, but it wasn't me. And the whole point is, like, you're benefiting from that same white supremacist system that would allow you to get something that you didn't deserve, or allow you to take something from somebody else. And they said in the little article that I read that the whole class, everybody knew it, and nobody did anything about it, right?
That's just,
nobody did anything about it.
And also, this is also, you're a child.
That's right. So what are you?
And these are the adults, and these are the adults doing this to you. And it, so I was, because, you know, I like to listen to really horrific murder podcasts and different things like that. Well, there was one recently, and it was talking about and I'm going to forget the name of the podcast. I'll find it in just a moment. But it was talking about the this young woman that was raped and went back to school, and the teachers were bullying her, and she ended up dying by suicide. She hurt herself and passed away. And it was like, well, what do you expect when like the teachers turn on you, the people that are supposed to protect you, the people that are supposed to keep the classroom safe. And in this case, it was, you know, the administrators, the teachers, whoever it was that put her in a spot where she wasn't going to succeed, or she wasn't going to get the acknowledgement of the hard work that she did.
Yeah. I just wonder where's the kid that they made valedictorian, and how many people knew. It's like,
and how much money a year is he making, and what job does he have?
We should go look at the high school valedictorian for the yearbook. I'm sure it's not that hard.
No, I'm sure it wouldn't be that difficult to find.
Right. Right.
I don't understand the point of doing stuff like that. And I mean, it's like, it's just cheating. And, you know, and that to me is just like, I am such a weirdo on like doing the right thing and fairness that I, like the idea of that just is so abhorrent to me that I don't know what to think about. And it drives me crazy when people do stuff like that, but it happens all the time. And I think that's the piece, again, as you said, like it's the experiences that you've had, the experiences that many folks have had that are not believed. Like if someone came to you and said, yeah, I was actually the valedictorian in my class, but they gave it to the white dude in the class versus me. So I'd be like, oh, okay, Jackie, sure, you bet. I believe you. I do believe you were the valedictorian, though, Jackie, no matter what anyone says. I know it's true. What are you looking at now? So, Jackie, I've lost you. Come back to me.
No, I'm here. I just am looking at all the things that this woman has done in her life that's been so great and wonderful. And still... And it's sad that their emotions, like, totally still sad about it. And, like, that's great that you gave her the honor and the ability to say all of those things. But you're right. Like, what else? What do you do? There was already a scholarship in her name for all the work that she did for plastic surgery. Something, a plastic surgeon. Like, still kept going. And I just wonder how many times that is still happening. And who is holding people accountable? Like, you, I think I'm glad to see, I have hope in like this new generation or millennials and beyond, that where you see that people are looking for, at least in some cases, fairness. But I mean, I think we have to like set the example. And part of it is just acknowledging that these things actually happen. It's just important that people know that it can happen, which is why we have to learn from like history and all of those things that are going on, so we don't make the same mistakes.
No.
Why is this so hard?
No, we don't want to learn about our history. No.
Okay.
That's where you're wrong, Jackie. We're gonna ignore it. Yeah.
I think we should just make it pretend it didn't happen. Let's say I discovered Waco. I could write that in a book somewhere, put it online.
You should.
Maybe I'll be famous.
You should. Waco, is that what you want to find? I think we should find something. Just kidding. We love Waco. We love Waco. Yeah, I could see you being like, I built the Hoover Dam brick by brick.
Alone. Before I was born. How about me?
Yeah. I was going to say, but then that would also be like the Asian American people that really actually did that would not be credited. So maybe not that either.
Well, we don't.
But that's the other part too. We don't have any things other than the pictures.
Teach anybody. Right.
We're not going to talk about it though.
I can't take it. I hate everything.
No, you do not. No, you do not. Okay. Can I shift gears? Because I know this is one you've wanted to talk about for a while.
Yes.
Okay. Let's talk about our friend Sherry Papini.
Lord have mercy. Okay. Speaking of true crime, this is the white woman episode, in case anybody. Speaking of true crime.
No.
Yeah, you need to call some friends. There's so many things to go over.
No. I know a lot of people, not just white women, that listen to murder and true crime. Settle down.
Okay. But Shrimp Papini, to be fair, is in their own category. I remember when this came out because, you know, we don't have a lot of time. Katie and I are very busy. Every once in a while, we catch a full story, a full news story, or on 2020, like live. Shrimp Papini came home after being kidnapped. She was kidnapped. She went jogging. Her husband came home. Sherry wasn't there. Her headphones were like on the ground by the mailbox, nowhere to be seen. Later, pops back up, had been branded, was on the streets waving cars down, went home. He's like, oh, thank God. You know, they had to go to the hospital. Thank God my wife's here. And I remember very specifically the Nightline episode where they were like, this isn't really... there's a little something that
if you remember, and I am looking at some of these articles because I had to track my memory or jog my memory a little bit, but it was the I was in a room bound by like chains, yes, and like it was like these zip random ties. Things.
Mexican women gang.
Yeah,
they
but it was like
before their gang.
But alas, I can't tell you what they look like. I can't tell you where I was. I didn't
ask the whole time.
I don't know any of the things, and I can't help you in any way, shape, or form to track these folks down.
Absolutely not. Didn't hear what they sounded like. Can't tell you what they look like. Pretty sure they were Mexican though. Pretty sure.
But the best part, so the reason why we're talking about this, because this was a few years ago, but the reason why we're talking about this is because they just did the DNA testing on her sweatpants. And turns out, folks, this is breaking news. April 13, breaking news. So it was about 2 weeks ago. The DNA found on her sweatpants actually belonged to her ex-boyfriends.
She didn't even take a shower.
I had a DNA test.
So many things. Turns out, I'm 100% not
doing my ex-boyfriend while I'm kidnapped. 100%. That's what happened.
100%. What? Like,
I took a DNA test and 100% I was at my ex-boyfriend's house.
But no, the other part too,
again, now I'm going back, is that the women had supposedly had like bandanas on. So when they did the sketch, it was just of their foreheads basically, it's so wrong.
Didn't see the nose, didn't see the mouth, didn't see the face, and was at their ex-boyfriend, left their kids, had already gathered like hundreds of thousands of dollars for being a victim that could have gone to real victims.
Mm-hmm.
Left two kids without a mother, having to say your mother is gone missing and we don't know where she is or when she's coming back.
And because it was a white woman, law enforcement was very involved and very engaged
minute
it happened.
Absolutely.
And so not that wouldn't have been the
case. Made the news.
Had this been a black woman, it would have totally been the same situation. However.
Oh, come on.
I just don't understand. Like, this is where also we can circle back on multiple episodes where we've talked about mental health. And like, at what point what are the signs as a husband or as a friend or family member, what are the signs that someone would give you that they're going to fake their kidnapping and go hang out with their ex-boyfriend? And also, where is the ex-boyfriend? Why is he not going, hey guys, FYI, Crazy Pants McGee over here.
Why did it take 6 years? What are you talking about? Like, oh, they were Mexican? Probably. I don't, like from that part, they were like, I don't think she, people had said, I don't think this happened. And, you know, and they're calling it the missing white woman syndrome. The fact that on this one case, it was like KRCR, I went and looked at it, stated like there is something that is happened. It's the white or missing white woman syndrome, which essentially states that missing white women and girls receive a disproportionate amount of attention. And you saw that in this case. And that's what really takes away some from other issues that were going on. According to the National Crime Information Center, nearly 300,000 girls and women were reporting missing in 2020. The Black and Missing Foundation shares almost 40% are persons of color.
Thank you for sharing that information. And I'm just going to tell you, I know that you make fun of my podcast viewing, but there are a couple of podcasts that talk about these exact things. So Faultline is one of them, where they talk about missing and murdered Indigenous women, women of color, just how they are ignored and it's no big deal. And then there's another one that I'm going to remember. Up and Vanished is another one. And every, like every chapter, whatever you want to call it, every season is a different case. But it's basically like how no one does anything.
If people you don't even hear of.
No. Mm-mm. No. And then you have these dummy dum dums that are like, let me fake this. But FYI, I don't know if you saw, but her husband did file for divorce. So it's, you know, for me, it's not even that. It's the kids. Like,
that's right.
What in the world? Like, everyone, stop having children if you shouldn't. The end. Like, thank you. Welcome. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
I didn't even tell you. So the best was this guy. I don't know why I'm laughing. Maybe this is very inappropriate laughter. They interviewed a guy that was his ex-boyfriend of Sherry Papini. He was 15. He was 15 and she was 20. And he said, oh yeah, she lies all the time. I'm like, sir, please don't bring up something from 18 years ago when she was 20 years old and say that she was lying. This is not news. 20-year-old lies, story at 3.
So this is the other. So I think that you both know.
Is there two of me now?
So no. So Sabina, Nessa, and Gabby Petito, obviously those are also cases that were very highly publicized. And but yet you have, okay, so I'm gonna, this is England and Wales, so UK.
Okay.
Reported missing to police in England, of those, 80% were white, 14% were Black. But the publicity how much publicity came out, 61% of the missing persons were publicly, who were white, they had public appeals of, hey, help us find them, and 22% for missing Black people. So it's, again, it's like, this isn't us just saying this or people feeling a certain way. It's like fact that, okay, if you are a woman of color, if you are an Indigenous woman, you will not get the same care. You will not get the same attention. And it just is so disturbing on every level.
And it's disturbing that if you're a white woman, you can get away with it for years and take funds from the government. Mm-hmm. That's the part that like baffles me. Like people, there are other people that needed that attention and those resources that actually had a problem or needed those things. And where's this boyfriend? Somebody needs to get this boyfriend on TV. I have questions.
Well, I was to say, but like, don't you, like, do you think that he should also be charged? Because he was like, you could say, I mean, he could be charged, maybe. I don't know. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a police officer. Could he be charged with like aiding and abetting?
But we don't even know the whole story. She could have been outside the whole time going.
No. She was with him. She was with him and they spent like 48 hours together. But my point is like, she's committing a crime because she's saying that she's kidnapped. So he is aiding and abetting her in that.
He had to be in on it.
Welcome, change agents, to your go-to place for stories that ignite your spirit, fuel your purpose, and connect us all. We believe in the incredible power of the human spirit, its boundless resilience, and the inspiration it brings to our lives. On the Driving Change podcast, we'll journey together through the extraordinary yet very relatable experiences of some of the most amazing people on earth. Our mission? That through these stories, we might just spark change within you and awaken a newfound motivation to harness your unique gifts to make a real difference in the world. So get ready to be inspired and join us on this incredible adventure. You can find the Driving Change podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you love listening to your favorite podcasts.
So I think he should be charged too. Thank you. That is my
your second TED Talk
law enforcement recommendation of the day. Thank you.
This is just horrid. He will be found out.
But that maybe is the bottom line right there. It's you will be found out. So stop doing stupid stuff.
Blaming other people. You're just hurting yourself because then quit people are going to be like, books, yeah, right.
Quit writing books about other people's experiences and then putting your face.
Would you just like
in the bio on Amazon? It's not going to. It won't land. It won't land well. Yeah. Mm-mm. Write it under a nom de plume or something. I don't know. Or just don't do it. How about that? Let's just not don't. Do it.
Or like my friend Phil DeFranco says, don't be stupid.
Yeah.
I think that's a fair thing to say.
Is it kind of like keep it simple, stupid? Is it kind of like that?
Kind of.
Phil DeFranco. Let's ask. Okay. So
that was the week in news.
So I just want to call out again, that's the first time I've dropped the F-bomb on an episode. I feel like it's for good. I used my powers for good, not evil, though, in this circumstance, because sometimes I just have to talk to the white women that are listening and have a special message just for them.
Special.
So very special. What else do we want to talk about in this episode, my friend?
I think we just need people to, I'm thinking more about like, this is why we need people to speak up or say something or hold other people accountable. Like if we can't get it like fair and equitable, then these things are just going to keep happening. Like it doesn't make it okay. And so mm-hmm. we have to hold people accountable. That's the whole thing. It's like, it just is baffling, but I don't know. I'm just completely baffled. Like, there's definitely not a situation where this would have played out in my favor. I would have never dreamed of doing that.
By the way, I just want to clarify that the missing white women syndrome, that was actually, that was created by a journalist by the name of Gwen Ifill. And she is a black female journalist who basically said, if there's a missing white woman, you're going to cover that every day. But I think it's one of those things that she was saying it from a, you're not going to cover mm-hmm. anyone else. And mm-hmm. I think there's just like, that is something that people don't understand how bad this is and how like turn on the news and watch mm-hmm. it. No one can stand it. I know. Cause they talk about politics and hard. Every horrible thing. But if you don't think that there is bias in the media, like it just listen to how people are talked about. And it's kind of the same thing. And I don't know if you remember, this was actually a few years ago that this was kind of in the spotlight where it was when crimes were committed, and it's kind of still happening now with like kind of the white terrorists folks that are going mm-hmm. into schools and churches and whatnot, where it's if it is a person of color, they go into their horrible background and the horrible things that mm-hmm. they've done and all of these things. And if it is a white man, it's, oh, never saw that coming. You know, they were such a quiet, great person. And, oh, this is so surprising. They would never do something like this. And it's the, like, re-victimizing of people.
Yes.
That have been victimized. And also the glorifying of people that have done atrocious things. And it's just, it's such a weird and fascinating thing to, like, watch. And it's also one of those things, hopefully, that folks can kind of see it now if they haven't seen it before, but just go and watch the news or go listen to or go read news articles. And
or it's Google unarmed black man, which is a whole nother problem. By putting unarmed black man, it implies that if somebody who does have a weapon, legally or otherwise, then you can justify it. And this is also why, like, the whole, like, anti-lynching act was so important, because this all started with, like, these white women accusing black men of doing certain things and then getting hung from trees for entertainment for in the town square because people made it up. I mean, I think people don't recognize that people have been taking advantage of the system that is there in different ways. And this is systemic. This is fully systemic. These things are fully systemic, and people thought they would get away with it for whatever reason, whether it's writing a book and being like, I'm the expert when you're so not, like, or blaming it on these other people. And how many times has a criminal said, oh yeah, it was a black man who did it? And it's like, wait, nope, it was you. You did it to yourself.
Right.
Of weaponizing the fact of the mistreatment of people in this country and then using that as a weapon. It's gross.
It's gross, and it's done every day.
Every day.
And I think, I mean, this goes to something, though, that I think is also happening kind of in the workplace, obviously not to the extreme of people dying, hopefully. But this assumption of good intent or assumption of it's okay. So you and I both are going to work, human, and you have to promise me something before we go.
Okay.
I want you to read Talking with Strangers by Malcolm Gladwell.
I have it.
He's
going
to be one of the speakers. I and I'm serious. Or go listen to it, whatever you want to do. I know you like to listen to things. I did find out something about Jackie I did not know before, folks. You know, she stayed with me for a week. And what I found out is that there's always something in her ears.
Yes.
She's always listening to something, which I that's how she covers so much ground. Me, I'm like, I just want to sit quietly and not talk to anyone or look at anything or do anything. And she's like all over.
Constant. Which,
yeah, makes me so happy. So that's why she's smarter than I am.
Why I'm always like, did you hear? And then she's like, no.
No, let me go Google that real quick and I'll find out what the story is. Okay, so I think as we think about it, as we kind of talk about this, the message or the lesson here in my mind is stop lying. Stop talking about stuff that's not yours to talk about. Like, cause I was thinking about, I'm like, you know, maybe if it was like, if she was like, let me tell you a story about this one person who's part of the black trap feminist theology. I was thinking then almost it'd be like a biography,
right.
Not a bibliography, a biography.
Yep.
So like, I'm trying to help her in some way. And I don't know why I'm trying to help her.
Not,
it's just not good. It's just not good. But anyways,
it's not
okay.
Gonna happen.
It's not gonna happen. Me, it's dog. Not gonna work out. It's not gonna work out. Hey, something I want to talk about in our next episode, and I can't tell you right now. We'll have to talk about it in the next episode. But what's your one thing that you want people to listen to or hear from this episode?
Like, check these things out before, when people are saying stuff like this, when you people like, and if you see something, try to say something, get them help. Just get some help, because we have to stop when it doesn't make sense. Just do that. And like, and if you see that in the situation with the kid and the grades, like, don't let people do unfair things. If you have an opportunity to make it right, make it right. You don't have to wait 30 years to do it.
Right.
So there's that.
Go to the all-white school board and tell them This is
wrong. Exactly. I'm going to throw up.
Oh, yeah. Nelly. Ugh. Okay. So thank you all for listening. This is Katie
Van
Horn.
Wait, you didn't give us a thing.
I did. Oh. I did. I said, stop it. Cut it out. I said, stop talking for people when it's not your business. Like, no,
that's
stop
fair. It. Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
Cool. All right. Boo.
This is Katie.
And this is Jackie.
Doot, doot.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, my name is Sarah, and I want to tell you about my podcast called Can I Offer You Some Feedback? I'm a business consultant and executive coach with over 20 years experience in change management, leadership development, and naturally providing feedback to high performers. My podcast is for those of you who have a complicated relationship with feedback, whether giving, receiving, avoiding, or seeking. Feedback is essential for our development. In each episode, you'll hear from real people across industries with their ideas, perspectives, and best practices on feedback. I'll also be sharing business bites with you, simple explanations of organizational tools, management techniques, and leadership philosophies that will help you and your businesses thrive. You can listen to Can I Offer You Some Feedback on your favorite podcast app or learn more at evergreenpodcasts.com.